singing, less singing session there. I think we've time to start church. Okay. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church this morning. Good to see that everyone is so lively despite the hot day outside. It's amazing what air conditioning can do. So this morning we are going to do something a little bit different. It is the book of Philemon. Now I'm going with that traditional pronunciation that I learnt as a child, rather than Philemon, which you hear these days. Doesn't go down with me. So Philemon we're going with, and there's a few other words in the book too that will point out the differences. It's a very short book, very small book. So we might even have an early mark today. You never know. But it is a very profound message in the book. So it may be a longer church. We'll see how we go. So let's start with some singing. I think it looks like we have a band assembled. And I'll hand over to the singers.
All right. Thank you, Paul. If everyone would like to stand up, our first song for today is Just Let Me Say.
Just let me say.
Nice one to start off with. Our second one for today is Hallelujah to the King of Kings.
Maker of the heavens and earth, exalted by the roar of a multitude, salvation and glory and power belongs to our God. The cry of
Changed the end up a bit, but that's all right, we worked it out. Good job, everyone. Yeah, come on, missing words, that's all good. Our last one is How Great Is Our God? Off with. You can all take a seat.
Good old favourites. Very, very old, and I'm pleased to see the band just, even though there were words missing, they just, without a beat, didn't miss a beat, went straight through. I think it's actually like Ben does with the hymns sometimes, you know, he leaves out some of the words. We'll start doing that with the choruses that you know well, some See if you can keep up. Okay. Thank you, band. Now, I think I might just talk a little bit about the book of Philemon. Not Philemon, Philemon. Do you like my picture? Yeah, lovely. Original, of course. Yeah. So, who has read the book of Philemon? Yes. I'm sure you all have all read the book of Philemon at some stage, but just in case you haven't, I'll read it to you. I do have a couple of other very short readings afterwards, but just to go through the main story, what's happening in the book of Philemon, gives us a bit of background. So we're told, interestingly, in some versions of the Bible, it has a note at the end that it was written by Paul from Rome. That wasn't in my Bible, but I noticed in the book we were reading this morning it was in. So it was written when he was in prison. It's the shortest letter he wrote, or that we have in the Bible. But despite it being short, it is very significant. The message in it is very, very important. Now, who was Philemon? No idea. We don't get any indication of who he is, what his station in life was, but the critics say that he was probably a wealthy Roman citizen and probably from Colossae. Now, I put a map up there, as you do, and this is also from Bible Mapper, which is royalty free, so you'll notice what it shows is the churches of Revelation, the seven churches of Revelation. Colossae is not one of those, but we have an epistle to the Colossians. We all know about that book of the Bible. And you'll see that right at the end we go through Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Hierapolis is just a ring in there because there should be just seven. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But Hierapolis, it usually gets a mention because that's the fancy one with the nice calcium carbonate fountains. Very pretty. And after Laodicea, we have Colossae. We actually went there, and unless they've started excavating now, there's nothing there than a big mound of dirt. So not a lot to say about Colossae. Other than that, we understand that Paul's co-worker, who's mentioned in this book, Epaphras, started a Christian community there. And one of Paul's converts was Philemon, as we gather from the reading. He was probably converted when Paul was at Ephesus. And Philemon set up a house church in his home, so he became a leader in the church. So we don't know a lot about it, but that's a little bit of background. Of course, at that time when Paul was going around converting people, that was the manner in which things were done. They would set up a house church, maybe 15 to 40 people that would just meet together in a house, probably pretty informal. They might have had communion, they might have had a bit of preaching or reading of letters from Paul and others, but that was the way it was done. Now, the story. So at the time, of course, there was slavery, and that was very common. And of course, with people that were converted to Christianity, they often had slaves, and Philemon was no exception to this. And one of his slaves, or he may have had more, was a fellow named Onesimus. Not to be confused with Onesimus. It's not Onesimus, it's Onesimus. Okay? And apparently Onesimus had done something wrong against Philemon. And then we don't know what it is. We're just told he had told he had wronged Philemon. And then to make things worse, he ran away. So you can imagine the punishment that may have attracted in a very strict Roman society. So we get a bit of an idea of how what sort of a problem Onesimus is in, and how is Paul going to resolve that. So Onesimus finished up in Rome, met Paul, was converted to Christianity himself, became a follower of Jesus, and rendered a lot of assistance to Paul and became a very beloved assistant to Paul. So this puts Paul in a very tricky situation, of course, because he's got on the one hand this fellow who has really committed a major trespass in the Roman community, and yet he's come to Paul, he's converted, he's been of great assistance to Paul and become very close to him. And on the other hand, Paul was the one that originally converted Philemon, and he's very close to him. So somehow Paul has to say to Onesimus, well, look, you've got to go back, that's the right thing to do, but he also has to get Philemon to receive him. So with that, let's go back to the Lord's Prayer first, and then we'll read through Philemon. Lord's Prayer according to Luke chapter 11. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. So we'll just skip through to the book of Philemon. Did it that way so you could have a couple of viewings of my opening picture. Philemon chapter 1. Well, there's only one chapter anyway. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow labourer, and to our beloved Epaphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Now, I'm not 100% sure the difference between a fellow labourer and a fellow soldier. Maybe Archippus was a soldier and he'd been converted. But certainly Philemon, not sure about Epaphia. But we can see here that Philemon had set up a church in his house, a house church. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. So talking to Philemon, giving him a bit of a praise up for what he's doing with his work for Jesus and in his house church, and saying how grateful of his Paul is that Philemon is such a good fellow. So now he has to ask the big question about taking Onesimus back. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. Okay, so Paul really is fond of Onesimus, very grateful for the service that he's been giving him, but he knows he has to do the right thing by Philemon. Philemon, rightly or wrongly, is the owner of Onesimus. And Onesimus was really a lawbreaker by running away. So he's got a pretty tough argument to push here, Paul. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldst receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou account me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. So there's a bit of an interesting twist there. Paul is politely asking that Philemon receive Onesimus back, not only as a servant, but on equal footing. So he's really pushing the envelope here. He's doing the right thing in the Roman society, but he's asking him to go further and receive him as a friend, not just as a servant. And that last comment he makes is that the justification for asking this is that Philemon really owes Paul his life. Paul has given him Christianity. He's given him eternal salvation through spreading to him the gospel. So he sort of puts it in a way that I'm not really referring to this, but just don't forget that you really owe me one. Okay, the conclusion. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, and my fellow labourers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So, that's Philemon. Very short, but very significant if you start to think about the implications of what's happened and what Paul is asking. Now, fortunately, we're going to have a hymn now, so I can clear my throat. Hymn number 35, Nativity. Thanks, Linda. Behold, Jehovah's ensign flies. The bearer doth invite your mortal bodies to become as pictures filled with light. It's a good message in there, and it does actually relate to the story we're looking at too today, as we hopefully will see a bit later. I have just a couple more readings, a few more readings for you. There's a short one from Hosea, a couple of verses from Psalm 52, and then a few verses from 2 Corinthians 5. Hosea 14. And this is at the time when Israel has really strayed, been taken away into other nations. They're in a really bad way. But Hosea is saying that they will return. They will be restored to their relationship with God. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless find mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. So we have a situation of reconciliation there that will occur. Psalms 52 talks about the mercy of God to allow this to happen. From verse 8, "But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints." And our last reading for the day, Paul talking this time to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Okay, so how does all that relate to each other? The story of Onesimus. Haven't got a blank page, sorry. The story of Onesimus, it's very brief, but very significant, as I said. So I think it's important that we understand that situation that Paul was in, very difficult situation. And yet he's asking his friend, Philemon, to forget about the society, the conventions of the Roman society, and he possibly could have taken this fellow to the courts and had him thrown in prison or worse. And Paul's asking him not only take him back as a servant, but take him back as a brother, as an equal. It's a bit of a tall ask when you think about it. Probably a little bit difficult for us to get the concept of when we think that we don't have slaves now. We don't have that situation where we own someone else and we've got that right to ask that person to do whatever. The fact that Paul, I can see this working in about four different ways, four different levels. Firstly, the attitude of the Christian, that if someone has wronged us, then it is our obligation to try and reconcile with that person wherever possible, to receive them back as a friend. And of course, it's a two-way street. In this case, Onesimus had already made that commitment to Christ. He was obviously a very different person after he'd been with Paul for a while than he was when he ran away from Philemon. He had turned around. And if we're in that situation where someone has fallen out of favor with us and they turn around, then we have no choice but to reconcile with them and accept them back as a brother in Christ. So that's a very simplistic level, I guess, you could think about the application of it. But then if we think about the plan of God, it's the same. We know, we understand, they understand that the plan of God is such that there was a spirit creation. God created all these spirits. There were some prominent angels in that creation. In the Bible, we don't get that much information about it. We learn about Lucifer, and we learn about Michael. We learn about these two archangels that were very high up in this spiritual realm that God created. And everything was fine until Lucifer decided that he wanted to be the boss. And he influenced a lot of the spirits to follow him. So it's the same thing that happened with Onesimus. Somehow he was drawn away from doing what he was supposed to be doing, and he wronged his master in that case. These spirits in heaven wronged their master, and they ran away, basically. Now, we read in Psalms that God is a merciful God. He's always trying to reconcile with us. And he gave us another chance. He created this earth. And he's given those spirits that made that wrong decision, that ran away, the opportunity to make that decision to turn around and come back to their master. So he put Adam and Eve in the garden to start with. And what did they do? They ran away as well. They were given that opportunity for life, eternal life. But they succumbed to the temptation of the devil as well, and they ran away. So God didn't give up. He promised that he would create a method for the reconciliation. And for starters, we see that he selected a special people, Israel. He gave them a set of rules to live by, and he said that if they followed those rules, they would receive life. They were given that opportunity once again. But what did they do? They followed it for a little while, but eventually they ran away as well. Same as Onesimus. And as we read in Hosea, God is merciful, and if Israel turn around, then they will be received back. They will be received back as God's special people again. And we see also the fourth thing that relates to this story, the salvation of the whole world. So from the race of Adam and Eve, we had not only that descendants which became Israel, but we have all other nations of the world. And God wants those nations to be reconciled to him as well. He's given everyone the opportunity. And we see that the way for that to happen was that Jesus came along and said, "I'll pay the price. If these people have wronged you, put it on my account, I'll pick up the tab." And it's exactly the same thing that Paul was doing when he gave Onesimus the opportunity. He was in a position where he could be a mediator between him and Philemon. And he could have just sent him back and asked asked Philemon to take him back as a servant. But he went further than that. And he said, if this guy owes you anything because of what he did to you, I'll pay for it. If he's wronged you, count it against me. But I don't want you just to take him back. I want you to be a brother to him and love him as I do. And that's exactly what God is doing to all of us, to Israel, to everyone that isn't of Israel. He's given them the opportunity. But Paul was taking that same role that Jesus Christ takes in this whole process. Jesus is the mediator between God and us. And he goes to God and says, if these people have wronged you, I'll pick up the tab. I'll pay for it. And he gave his life to do exactly that. In the same way that Paul said he would pay if Onesimus owed Philemon anything. So this story of Onesimus, I think, is really the significance of what Paul is doing. It's not only quite an amazing thing that he's asking. He's really asking him to go against the society that he's living in. He's really trying his faith. He's really stretching Philemon to the limit to not only take this fellow back who did the wrong thing by him and forgive him, but not only just accept him back as a servant, as a slave, but as a brother, as one of the family. Quite an amazing thing. And that is what God is doing to us. Even though we have run away in the spiritual realm, we ran away. When our parents were given that first chance in the Garden of Eden, they ran away. And ever since then, people have been running away. But we still have that opportunity to come back to God, accept that payment that Jesus Christ gave for us, and be reconciled to God, come to God. Of course, as Onesimus turned around and obviously became a different person, then we have to do the same thing and become different people and live as Jesus Christ would want us to live before we can come to God. And we can then come to God and ask be accepted by him, not only as slaves or as servants, but as brothers. And as Jesus says, he was the firstborn among many brethren, or as Paul says about Jesus, he was the firstborn among many brethren. So we have that opportunity to become brothers and sisters with Jesus Christ. So that's what I saw in Philemon. And with that, I think we'll finish. And I did say that we might get an early finish. It looks like we will. And let's finish with hymn number 129. Equip me for the war, teach my hands to fight. My simple upright heart prepare and guide my words aright. Control my every thought, my whole of sin remove. Let all my works in thee be wrought, let all be wrought in love. And may I learn the art with meekness to reprove, to hate the sin with all my heart, but still the sinner love. I think that was my father's favourite verse out of all the hymns. So just a verse to finish off with, which is from Corinthians. God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, hath given to us the mystery, the ministry of reconciliation. Thanks for coming today. Hope to see you all next week.